Jai Baba, everybody.
Jai Baba. Okay.
Now, Baba has gone on his new life, but he equally sent us, who were staying with him in the ashram, in our new life too. So I will tell a part of my new life. It was in August. Baba one day comes up the hill, Mehrabad. He used to be in Mehrabad here. He came up and said he had a very important announcement to make. And he called us all in the room and said, I'm now going on in my new life, and I'm going to take very few with me. The rest of you will have to either obey me and do as I tell you, or go on your own and do what you like. You can get married, you can work, stay with your family, stay with your friends, do what you like. Or be under my orders and do what I ask you to do. Don't think just because I will send you away that I'm going to abandon you. You're still under my wings. But the only thing is, you will not see me physically. You're under my orders, which you have given us many, and you will do exactly as I ask you to do, and do that, do it happily, not grudgingly. Do it 100% happily, and try to obey me and please me. So Baba said, whoever wants to obey me, follow me, put their hands up. Those who don't want to follow me, they can leave, have nothing to say. So all the hands went up, of course, all went up. Where are we going now? When you have spent your life with him, where are you going now? So although we all had parents, we all had families, but who wants to go there? So Baba said, all right, I'm very happy. I'm very happy to see all of you who want to stay with me. Then he said, the next time he comes, then he said that he had only selected 4 ladies. And the men, of course, that was a different question. The 4 ladies were, of course, Mehra, Mani, Dr. Gohar, and Mehru. And the rest of us, Baba said, wherever I put you, you must work, be happy, and obey my orders. So Rano, Kitty, Kaushik, Marcy, Nadia, and myself, we were asked to go to Bombay. Some were asked to go to Pune. Some were in Mehrabad. Some were kept in Mehrabad. Others were all sent here and there. So Baba said, you will not see me now. When I go on my new life, take it 100% that you are not going to see me ever again. You will not hear from me. You will not receive any correspondence, nor will I receive any correspondence from you, because you won't know where I am. You will, wherever I keep you, be happy. You will not be a burden to anybody. You will work, try to find work, and keep yourself employed. Earn and be independent. And there were certain orders he had given us, of course, many orders. So each one of you will work. So he had assigned Nadia and myself to stay with Arnavaz and Nariman Dada Chanji. They were the arrangement walas. When Baba entered the new life, he had a few people called the arrangement walas who looked after the things when Baba left here, you see. So we, it was all a big shock. We just couldn't absorb it all. It was just still in a daze, after hearing all this. So Baba says, he points out, he says, you will also work. I said, yes, Baba. And I think to myself, I've been cooking all my life here in the ashram. What will I work there as? I knew a little shorthand. Of course, Kitty Devi had taught Mani and me shorthand during our blue bus trips. Whenever we found time, we would sit with the lanterns and study in the night. So our shorthand was very good. It's still so embedded that we have never forgotten. And typing, there was a typewriter at Mehrabad, so I asked Baba if I could do a little bit of typing on my own, learn it. Little did I realize that I was preparing myself for something. So I sit with the lantern. We had no electricity, mind you. The fittings were all on, but we still had the lanterns. So I'd sit with the lantern, 9 o'clock, go tick-tick at the typewriter. And I mean, I just barely got my alphabet right, got a little speed, and every day I would tell Kitty so proudly, oh, Kitty, I can type this as so much. And Kitty had given me, lent me the book, you know, Pittman's self-taught typing. So Baba turns to me and said, and I think to myself, what will I work as? Baba said, you will work for the, like this, he made a flat nose, you know. And a flat nose means Chinese. And I said, Chinese, Baba, I have to work for the Chinese. And I didn't like the Chinese. And I said, Baba said, you'll get a good job. Don't worry, he said. Everything will be fine. You'll earn plenty, you'll work, and you'll get a good job. I said, Baba, I don't like to work for the Chinese. He said, oh, don't worry, everything is all right. So, completely forgotten about this sign that Baba had told us. We go to Baba on 15th October. Baba comes down the hill, Mehrabad Hill, and he sees, waves us off goodbye in Merji and Nariman's cars. We were six of us. Rano, Kitty, Kaushed, Masi, Naja and myself. So we wave to Baba standing there in his long sadhra and he's waving out to us. We all, we are under such shock yet, so there are no tears, there's nothing. And till we sat in the car, we are on the way, I still think this is all a dream. Is it true? Is this really true? Am I going to Bombay? I'm sitting in this car, I'm going to Bombay. We reach Bombay, I get down at Annavas' place. Annavas greets us and welcomes us so lovingly. And I say, Annavas, this is all true. We've come to your house. We're going to stay in Bombay now. So, I mean, we're still under that shock. We just hadn't got over it. So Naja and I, Annavas makes us so welcome. And we stay with Annavas and Nariman. So Baba had asked Nariman, and Nariman was like our guardian. He was the care arrangement wala. Now, Jal Kerawala, you must have heard of him. He was the magistrate in when we were on the blue bus trip with Baba in Jabalpur. And he loved Baba very much. He was assigned to Bombay on some government service and he wanted a very private and confidential secretary. And he was looking out for one. He told Mayorji and Nariman, if ever you get a good secretary, please find me one. But I need a real good one who can be really confidential and who can keep secrets and things, and I don't want anybody, you know, because I'm on a very serious and important job, high something with the government, central government. When I went to Bombay, I said, now, who's going to find me a job? How will I find a job? I've never even seen an office in my life. I haven't even been to out in the world. How am I going to find a job? And who's going to employ me? No experience, nothing. So Nariman, Mayorji come up with this, Kheti, we have a job for you. Mr. Kherawala wants a confidential secretary. And more, what more can he have than Baba person? Because he was a Baba lover. I said, okay, when do we go to see him? So they take me to him. And he talks it over. Says, no shorthand, no this. He was very stern and stiff like that. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to work for this man. What's going to do? Baba, help me. he never smiled at me or nothing. Didn't even realize I've just come from an ashram. I mean, just very stern. So And he was a taskmaster. Yeah. He made me type from morning till evening. He made me type, type, type. And he would dictate such long, long letters. And I mean, I used to get a little nervous, you know. And my first time in the office, and not a soul around me to teach me the ropes, how you file things, how you send out a telegram, how you make copies, how you do this. I'd never seen an office in my life. I was with Baba all this time, so how do I know what it's all like to be working in an office? And I sit in the afternoons, lunchtime, all alone in my room, because I had strict orders from Mr. Kerawala. Nobody enters this room, and nobody touches my desk, nobody sees my papers, nobody does this, and you see, and you don't get out of the room. So I was there confined to that room from morning till evening. And then lunch hour too, I would sit and type, 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 type. He gave me a file this size to copy out everything, you know. He wanted the duplicate file. It belonged to the central government. And I had to sit and copy those letters. I was getting crazy, you know. When I went home in the night, I carried a big thing under my arm. And I used to reach home as soon as I was a little bit fresh and sit down and clang, 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 clang. Again, I had a typewriter at home also. Morning, I got up early and I leave for the office. People in the office were saying, they were peeping something. Miss Irani, don't you ever rest? I said, no, I have to finish all this. For 3 months, I slogged over there, I really tell you. I worked so hard. Then we used to have board meetings, the central government officers would come, and we had to take the minutes and this and agenda and all that. Oh, it was all that. So everything so new to me. But then, I mean, I just learned by experience and the hard way. I get shouting from him. Oh, don't you understand this? I said, but I've never done this before. Said, you should know by now. Okay, okay. Said, I've never done this before. And I'd sit and cry in the afternoon. Baba, where have you brought me? Huh? Where have you put me? I said, why did you do this to me, Baba? He said, then you've got to help me now. You've got to help me to see that I do everything right now. So, in the end, I got really good. Huh? 3 months, he was really happy with my work. And the office had to shift to Nagpur. And Baba's orders, not to leave Bombay till I tell you, not to step out of Bombay, till I ask you. And now he's not coming to see us. We are not going to hear from him. And I don't know when that order was going to come, but we were not to leave Bombay till he called us or asked us to. So the ministers and the government officials said, Miss Irani, we would like you to accompany us to Nagpur. I said, sorry, sir, I can't leave Bombay. I don't want to come to Nagpur. So they gave me a nice certificate and all that. Okay. One job over 3 months. Mm-hmm. Now hunt for another job. 3 months experience. Who's going to keep you? I said, every day I would apply, you know, from the advertisements, all this. Wanted, look up all the columns. This sounds good. So I'd apply. Replies would come. Go there. We'll let you know, miss, later. We'll let you know. Okay, get down the stairs. I knew they'd never reply. So, meanwhile, I was free doing nothing, looking out and waiting for a job. I did my Montessori course. Mr. Yorston had come to Bombay. And there was a crash program, you see, 4 months or 6 months, I forget. Very hard work. Night and day we studied, you know. And did my Montessori course, got my diploma. And then still no job. So now what to do? Then I took up masseur, doing massage work. I used to take ladies. I learned a little bit of Swedish massage and all that. Had a nice fat client. I used to go and massage her every day. She'd sweat me out, you know. I'd put her on a diet. I'd say, eat, don't eat this, don't eat that. Do a little exercise, do this. She's nice and plump, you know. She just didn't care. She said, as long as I massaged her and sweated her down. But I was sweating and I was losing weight. So, hardly worked for a month or two. Then somebody asked me to come on a temporary job. So I went for a nice job. It was a very big firm, electrical firm, a big mechanic, all this. You must have heard about it. They dealt with Mitsubishi's and Hitachi, all the Japanese firms and German firms. And big company. It is known as Kamani Company. And I went there on a temporary basis. They wanted a typist. They wanted a steno on temporary basis. So I joined them. Now, during the Montessori classes, I had met one girl who was half Japanese and half Parsi. Her father had married a Japanese lady. So she looked half Japanese and half Parsi. Very cute young lady, Mary. She was called Mary Wadia. She and I used to sit at the same desk, and she would watch me taking down my notes in shorthand and typing out my notes and all the drawing work we had to do and, you know, everything. So she used to see how my files were kept. And one day I receive a phone from her while I'm on that temporary job there. She said, "Katie, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm working at such and such a place." "Oh, forget about it," she said. "Katie, I found you a wonderful job." I said, "Yes." But she said, I said, "How can I leave them?" She said, "Oh, it's only temporary. You can leave them anytime. You're not bound by anything." I said, "All right." She said, "I'll come and pick you up tomorrow at your office." So she comes and takes me, and I go with her and meet the Japanese for the first time in my life. Mr. Kiriyama and Mr. Yoshika, and then there was some Indian also, and Mary's there. Mary could speak fluent Japanese, write Japanese. In fact, these people had called Mary to be their secretary. Now, Mary was engaged to get married in Japan. She had a boyfriend and a fiancé was waiting for her. And she said, "Katie, I can't take this job. So I thought of you." And the Japanese, more than any written recommendations, they go on personal recommendations. I mean, if they can say, if they have a friend who can say, "This person is right for you," they will not see any other things, you know. So when Mary said, "Mr. Kiriyama, this is the right person for you. I have found a perfect secretary for you." And Mr. Kiriyama, typical Japanese who couldn't speak English clearly. And when he first spoke to me, I just stared at him. I said, "What is he saying? Am I going to work for this man?" And every time I look at him and say, "What has he said?" And because I looked at him like that. I looked at Mary. Mary said, "Yes, Katie, it's all right. He says, he'll be very happy." So they took my test. He asked Mary to read out a big leader from the Times of India. Such difficult words, you know. A long leader like this, you know, from the Times of India, which used to be first run by Bennett Coleman, all that. They read it out, dictate it to me, and I type it out. And they look it over, and speaks to Mary in Japanese. "All right, I'll let her know. And Mary says, "Katie, don't say anything about the salary. I'll speak to them. It's not from their pockets, from the government." But I didn't even know anything. Where she take me? I said, "Mary, what is the job? Who are these people?" "No, don't worry, Katie, you're in good hands. Don't worry about anything. It's a government job. I'm telling you, keep quiet. And don't say anything about the salary. I'll speak to them." So well, Mary's taking care of everything. Why should I say anything? Kept quiet. They opened up, the Japanese were sent here as the trade representatives. I mean, they came from the Ministry of Trade and Industry, no? MITI. The government has sent them actually. One, Mr. Kiriyama was from MITI, so they appointed him. So it was opened up as the Japanese government overseas trade agency. We opened this office like that, with only two Japanese. And I was there, appointed by them. No, not appointed so easily. So he said, "I'll let you know, Mr. Rani." I said, "Okay." So at 10:30 in the night, after 4 or 5 days, I received a phone call. And I'm fast asleep. Nariman picks up the phone. "I want to speak to Mr. Rani." And Nariman says, Katie, there's a phone for you. Get up. Phone for me at this hour?" And I run to the phone and, "Mr. Rani?" He had a big squeaky voice, you know. And I said, and I have to remember the name. It took me so long to get that name in my head. So I remember Kiri. Kiri means in our language, a little ant. And so I would remember the ant, Kiri, Kiri, and Yama. So I mean, Kiriyama, Kiriyama. Yes, Mr. Kiriyama. Irani, Irani-san, I want you to come to the office and press on so and so and so. I said, I don't understand. Nariman, please take the phone. Nariman, please. What is he saying? So Nariman, yes, yes, Mr. Kiriyama. What is it? Yes, Nariman. I want her to join me on the 1st December. So and so. And I said, all right, I'll come. I haven't given notice to that office where I'm working. There are only 2 or 3 days left. So I tell these people I want to leave. And they won't let me go. I said, but I'm on temporary basis. I don't have to give you any notice. And I'm not happy here, I said. There's so much work. I was typing from morning till evening. So many letters. So much dictation has to get crazy, you know. Cabins this side, buzzing here, all here, important, this is important, 6 copies here, 7 copies here. Oh, my God, I got mad. And I was on the typist, you know, the steno pool they have. 20 typewriters racking away, oh, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. You got crazy by the time when you reached home. Your head was just buzzing with the typewriter noise, you know. Tra tra tra. Oh, God, oh, God, I said. And these... actually, I had all these South Indians with me. Also, they're the best typists, I tell you. They can type so fast, you can't even see the fingers at the typewriter, I tell you. They just go, trrr. I had to look at them. My speed wasn't that much, but I just look at them. I said, why, you can type fast, huh? No, man, Nisirani, after working for 20 more years, you'll also get the same speed, don't worry. We've been here at it for so many years. I said, oh, you've been working for so many years. So, and they were real good. And every half hour, that man with the kettle would go around, coffee, coffee, coffee. And they'd drink coffee by cups and cups. Mr. Rani, why don't you take a cup of coffee, you know, you can work better. No, I said, I never drink coffee, thank you. So, I mean, I was the only girl with this whole pool of these men here, with all these Madrasi typewriters, typists, huh? Stenos, in fact. Oh, but they were all good, you know. Sometimes figure work, they would give me charts like this. I'd look at it, I said, how am I going to get through this till 6 in the evening? Oh, my dear, how will I do it? They'd be so good, you know. I'd mess to me. Come on, Mr. Rani, you'll never finish it. He'd take it over and finish it for me, you know. Come on, I'll help you. What are you doing now? You can't finish that. Come on, do it. So they were real good, you know, trying to help me. So, I mean, we all became good friends and all that. Now when I told them I'm leaving, what? You're going now? Why, aren't you happy here? I said, I'm really not happy here. I was looking out for a better job, I said. But what? This is a good job, you see, Rani. You'll get fine prospect, this, that, huh? In so many years you'll get this, you'll get this. Gratuity, provident fund. I said, no, I don't want anything. I want a good job, I said. I'm not happy here. So, then I told them I left. And I told Mr. Kiriyama, he had wanted me to join 1st December. I said, Mr. Kiriyama, I will join you on the 5th of December. So, he said, why? And I didn't know that I tell the truth to the Japanese. I never know there. I said, there's a cricket test match and I bought my ticket. And I'm going to see the test match. Until the very end, this Mr. Kiriyama would tease me in front of others. This lady wouldn't join me because she had to go and see a test match. Inside I would boil in her. This man, he's still not forgiven me, huh? He's just getting at me. So, and I said, keep quiet. I said, okay, okay. But I bought my ticket for the cricket test match, which I'd never seen. And I wanted to see a test match. So what's all right? I will go and see my test match for 3 days and then join him. What's wrong? I didn't think anything. He was just so angry. He would tell everybody. She didn't join me because I told her she should come on the 1st. She comes on the 3rd or 5th. She saw the cricket match that was very important. I said, yes, Mr. Kiriyama, it was important. I'd never seen a cricket test match. So I joined the Japanese. Now mind you, I never liked the Japanese. Because Japan, what we read before I left Baba, we used to hear about this war was on. And The Japanese nearly invaded. They came up to Calcutta. They were going to bomb, come further in, bomb Bombay, Calcutta, everything. And they were just driven off from Calcutta. And the atrocities and all this we used to read in the papers. I said, God help us. Never in the hands of the Japanese. And here I land myself with the Japanese. And I said, to myself, Baba meant this. That's what he meant. This is where I'm going to work now. So then I realized the Japanese were for me, huh? Okay. So now, join the Japanese. It's not the consulate yet. We get on nicely. Of course, Mr. Kiriyama, with his little pidgin English, and I mean, I had to ask him twice what he said. He would get irritated sometimes. He would say, Miss Irani, we'll have tea. So I said, what, Mr. Kiriyama? Ask for tea, tea, tea. No, you'd say, it's very funny, you know. Ah, oh, tea, yes, Mr. Kiriyama, you want tea? Of course I'll order it. And then he would call, you know, he couldn't pronounce the names correctly, and I would ask him twice, thrice, and he would get a little annoyed. And I said, but Mr. Kiriyama, it is pronounced like this. It is not the Taji, it's the Taj. It's the Taj Hotel. Oh, all right, the Taj Hotel. The Japanese never like to be corrected by a woman, you know. They don't like a lady to correct them. And besides, I was taller than him. He couldn't reach or open the door. So he'd ask me to open the door, which he didn't like. He would... When we went out shopping, because they were just setting up home and all that, so I had to guide him in shopping and also, so I'd take him on the street. He'd walk ahead and I had to run after him, you see. It's like in Japan, the ladies do that. The men walk in the front and the ladies walk after them. And I thought to myself, what is this? I said, he's walking ahead, and I said, Mr. Kiriyama, I said, I am walking with you. It's all right. And he goes into any shop. What is this? And he knew two words, Hindi words. Sasta karo. Make everything cheap. Yes, he knew that the Indians would try to raise the prices when they saw foreigners. So he would tell them, Sasta karo. I said, Mr. Kiriyama, but this is a fixed price shop. They're not going to do sasta karo for you. So, very expensive. No. Then we go from shop to shop. He would select the furniture. He'd select everything. So I had a tough time, you know. Then his wife came, his children came, shopping for the wives, schools for the children, find good schools, take them there. Everything was, you know, they'd just come in, and so we had to settle them, make them feel at home. Then after 2 years, the peace treaty was signed, and the government recognized that this trade agency as the Jap, it was raised to the status of a consulate general. So we threw in our first party for the celebration at the big club, CCI, and we had to go there, receive the press, and all the VIPs and all that, and so we were introduced to the dean of the consular corps and all the diplomats and all that. And so, new consulate general has been established. Japan, the flag comes up. White background with a red mark in the center. And so, Japanese consulate, huh? I still never realized the importance of working in a Japanese consulate. I never knew that. Okay. When others asked me, and they said, oh, you're working in a Japanese consulate? I said, yes. I never thought it was such an important job or anything. I never realized that it is so difficult to get. You can find your way in a consulate, you know, they don't take you in easily. So, I mean, I was really lucky how I got in through my friend, and they accepted me. So, now, you know, the diplomats, they never stay long. Every 2 years, 3 years, all the diplomats, they're always transferred, a new one comes in. So I worked there for 27 years. Every 2 years I had a new consul general. So I worked for nearly 13 consul generals, about 50 vice consuls, no, 25 or 30 consuls, 50 vice consuls, chancellors, attachés, and all these, you know, counselors. So I had a new boss every time. Every 2 years I had a new boss, new trend of work. Everybody wanted different method of working. My letters must start like this and end like this. Somebody wanted the American style, you know, how it all goes in one line. Somebody wanted the British style with the paragraphs. Every time I had to relearn everything. I must remember, I had to write it down, you know. Shouldn't confuse with the last consul general. He wants this letter like this. Must be in this line. Must be so. Not one error. Sometimes slight erase. I had that silly electric typewriter. It was new, IBM. I'd never handled it. And the minute the telephone would ring or anything, slightest touch and a comma would come in or a question mark would come in. And I'd say, oh, there it goes. And I'd get so annoyed. And I tried to raise it up and put that letter, you know, because, Irani-san, you have done a little mistake here. There's a little erasing. No, do it all over again. Oh. Yes, sir. Okay. So you have to be so careful. The more careful you got, the more nervous you became, and the more mistakes made, you see. And if I did it just, you know, oh, come on, I have to do this. So sometimes it's such a hurry, no mistakes, nothing. But you know, when you attend to the phone calls, visitors coming, consul general ringing the buzzer, this, and you just get a rush from your typewriter and something happens, so all these things would happen. So I had a nice 27 years. This is just that. 27 years. It was a busy, busy life. I had to be in charge of invitations. We have to have the big, big parties for 500, 600 people, make lists, all the VIPs from the military to the ministers to the government officials, police department, customs, this, that, income tax, oh my dear. It went on and on, all the diplomats, and lists and lists and lists and parties. Then we had small parties. Consul General would have personal friends, Madame would have her own friends. Ladies' mahjong parties, men's mahjong parties, and dinner parties, and diplomat dinner parties, and it was a very busy time. Till the end, I mean, it was just too much for me. And I wanted to come, because ever since after Baba dropped his body, Baba had asked us that whenever you want to come back, after you feel sick of working, you should come back to Mehrazad. So I wanted to leave. I said, enough of the Japanese and enough of office work. So I tried to go away. Meanwhile, one consul general dies, another one comes in. All the ceremonies, death ceremonies, funeral ceremonies, everything goes on. New one comes. So, you know, protocol requires till you get them started, you know. The introductions and all that. So it just prolonged, you know, my stay went on. Since 1978, January, I told my consul general, I handed my letter of resignation, sir, I now like to retire. I'm going to retire to do what I want to do all my life. I'm going to join my sister, who's opened up a dispensary there, and help her. So he says, but Irani-san, I've just arrived. Why don't you finish my term and leave? I said, sir, that's what's happened with all the other consul generals. And I've spent 27 years now, enough. I must go now, otherwise I think I'm going to die here. So he said, think it over. He wouldn't accept my letter. He kept it for a month. And he said, sir, have you considered sending my letter to the foreign office? No, Irani-san, please consider. I'm still holding it back. But sir, I'm leaving in January. I must go. I wanted to come here for the Amartiti and then finish. That was the end. And he hasn't sent my letter yet. I said, sir, I'm serious now. Are you sure? Are you sure you want to go? I said, yes, sir, I want to go. So he said, we'll miss you and all that. They gave me a grand farewell party and, of course, speeches and all that, and everything was there. Yeah. I used to always keep Baba's pictures on my table under the glass. And there used to be three, four pictures, different kind of pictures. So So some would ask, come and ask me, is this your boyfriend? I said, no. No, he's not my boyfriend. Then who is he? Your uncle, your grandfather? I said, no. So one vice consul, he couldn't speak English well, so I told him, I said, he's like, they're all very staunch Buddhists, the Japanese. So I said, he's like Lord Buddha. You do this to Lord Buddha. This is Meher Baba. And Meher Baba is like Lord Buddha. Ah, so this. Ah, yes, Mr. So this. Then every morning he would come and say, do that. And I said, you are lucky to even bow down to Baba. I said, good. So I mean, they all knew about Baba. And Mr. Kiriyama, when I first told him about Baba, and I said, Mr. Kiriyama, I follow Master, and I have certain orders. And he would say, you're a grown-up person, why do you need a master? I said, sir, he's my spiritual master. And I do what he asks me to do. Don't you have a mind of your own to do what you like? I said, I have my mind, but my mind is his. And I do what he asks me to do. Oh, something around Japanese or something. I said, Mr. Kiriyama, I still follow my master. It's all right. I will work here, but I still follow my master. And his wife had great respect for Baba. She would see Baba's picture. And when I went to Japan, I stayed with them for 2 days in their house. Wanted to see the Japanese way of life. Very interesting. And after 20 years of service, the Japanese government invites all the staff for 10 days free trip to Japan. So it was in 1970, Expo 70 in Osaka, when the Japanese government asked me to come over. I didn't know any Japanese language. I never bothered to learn it, and they were very happy because they could swear at me in what they liked in front of me and I wouldn't understand a word. So, they didn't like the idea of learning Japanese, first of all. But there were classes, Japanese classes, I could have gone. But late at night, it was too much for me after the office, and come home by 9 or 9:30, it was impossible. I didn't want to learn it, and I said, bother, what is Japanese going to be used to me? I didn't realize that one day I had to go to Japan, and I really thought, oh, what a shame, I didn't learn Japanese. I knew a few sentences here and there, that's all. In Japan, they don't understand if you spoken language like that. If you write it, they'll read it, they'll understand, and they'll write back to you. They can't speak, then they will not understand. That's what I found. So in Japan, I had all very funny experiences. I asked my consul general, one other gentleman from the office was also invited at the same time. So I said, sir, can I go with Mr. Kureishi? He knows the language. I can't speak Japanese, so what is going to happen to me there? He said, don't worry, everything will be taken care of. I said, sir, but I don't know the language. How will I understand what people are saying? You don't have to worry. The foreign office will take care of you. I said, all right, I don't care now. So, Mr. Kureishi was sent ahead. And when he returned, I was sent back. So, and I was praying. I said, Baba, I hope somebody meets me at the airport. I hope somebody... They wouldn't tell me a thing. This consul was very funny, you know. He wouldn't tell me a thing. He was a different consul then. That you'll be met at the airport, you'll be taken to the hotel. And I said, I'm going to land in Japan. What's going to happen? I had a Japanese government, a special passport. So I arrived there and I see my old vice consul there. Oh, I was so happy to see him. I said, Mr. Sano, I'm so glad to see you. And then I reached there at 11:30 or 12 midnight and takes me to a nice hotel. Settles me there and says, Mr. Rani, you can ring the bell, what you want, where is that, and everything. Very comfortable. They put me up in the best of hotels and took all my old, went to the foreign office. All my old bosses met us and gave me a nice dinner, tea party, and all that, you know. And they showed me around Tokyo, Osaka. I went to the expo It was a nice trip. So Japan is a beautiful country. For those who have you not seen it, should visit it because it's a beautiful country. The people are very nice, except when they get into war. But as such, they are very nice people, friendly. They like to talk, and they're very camera conscious, of course. Each and every one has a camera around their necks, and wherever you go, you are just asked to stop. Chutto matte kudasai, kip, all the time, everywhere I was. And because I traveled in my sari, I didn't put on a dress there because I wanted to look a typical Indian. So I was in my sari from morning till night, walking miles and miles in that expo, and everywhere I went, the sightseeing, Kyoto, the old capital of Japan, all these beautiful temples, Buddhist temples. It was beautiful. And the countryside was lovely, clean. Japan is a clean country, I must say, very clean. The people themselves are very clean. The houses are spick and span. And you get to know different customs and different styles of living. So it was very, something very entertaining and very nice for me.